Hi everyone, Anna McCoy here. Today's message is about financial freedom. This is the first one in our series, and it is about your FICO score ingredients. What you'll learn is that your credit score really does impact your quality of life. So stay tuned after a word from our sponsors.
Who's that lady?
Anna!
She's persuasive, she's passionate, and she's got one purpose: to help you live an incredible life. Anna McCoy is a life coach, financial educator, author, entrepreneur, and inspirational speaker. She'll give you the real answers to tough questions.
Who's
and now,
lady?
Your host, Anna.
This is Anna McCoy. This is a part of our financial freedom series on FICO ingredients. How many of you know what FICO means? FICO means the Fair Isaac Company. It means Fair Isaac Corporation. And so most of us, we really don't know what it means, but that's what it means. That's where your FICO scores come from. So today I want to talk to you about your FICO score ingredients. Okay. One of the reasons why I'm doing this today is because I happen to be looking for another car. And when I began to look for that car, you know, it gives you an idea on all of these different websites. And I think this one was on one of the popular websites. And it always gives you this minimum payment that you can pay. And so as you scroll down the page, it also gives you a financial calculator that will give you a better idea of what that car would cost you over a certain period of time, from 12 months to 84 months, where you can finance it. And so I was looking at that. And then the third thing they gave you on that calculator was your credit score, which really led me to do this brief show today. So let's talk about your FICO score ingredients, because basically you have about four different areas. You got poor, you got fair, you got good, and you got excellent. Those numbers. And so we got the 400 to maybe the 500s, which are your poor. And then we have anything below 649, which is fair. 680 and above, maybe 680 to about 720 or so is good. And then above maybe 720, 760 is excellent scores. So most of us, we try to at least get in the 700 club, okay, for several reasons. And so I want to encourage you, even as you go through this or listen to this podcast, that, you know, what this is really about when it comes to your finance is your quality of life. Same product, but different payments for that same product when we're using credit. Isn't that interesting? If you walk in and you pay cash, it's a level playing field. But if you need to use somebody else's money, then you're going to pay the penalty for not having a good credit score. And so you would probably ask yourself, why is that the case? Well, credit is based on character, credit, and capacity. And so if you haven't had good character, that means your ability to pay back your loans, then you're going to end up with a low credit score. So let's get right into it. This is your FICO score ingredients. That's pretty much what it's called. So FICO scores take into consideration five main categories of information in a credit score. Now, if you haven't pulled your credit report, which is different from your credit score, your credit report tells you everything that created your credit score. So you can get it free at annualcreditreport.com. So the chart below, you can't see the chart. I'll have to put a link or something, or put it in a blog for you to be able to see it on my website, or you can just look up a FICO chart via Google. So the chart shows the relative importance of each category of your FICO scores. And the payment history, which is 35% of your FICO score, is based on this information. It includes payment information on many types of accounts. So there are different types of accounts because that's going to impact your credit score. When you think about new credit or the types of credit you use. So when we think about credit cards, such as your Visa, MasterCard, American Express, this is a type of credit. Then you have retail accounts that come from your department stores that you might do business with, or online companies, or for example, PayPal. When you think about PayPal that extends credit to you, or airline companies that may extend credit, or some kind of travel that gives you these credit opportunities. But at the end of the day, they're really going back. The funders of those loans are really credit card companies. So the next one is installment loans. These loans is where you make regular payment amounts, such as your car loan or your mortgage loans. Now that's called an installment loan. And then, of course, if you have any kind of finance company account, for example, if you finance a loan to a payday loan, that's a finance company. That's going to be on your credit score. And that's the worst one you could possibly get, by the way. Their interest rates go upwards of 400%. So it's like you never get out of that situation. So if you can avoid it, try to avoid it. Then you also have, most people don't consider this, what we call public record and collection items. These things also appear on your credit report. These are reports of events such as your bankruptcies, foreclosures, lawsuits, wage attachments, liens, and judgments. And this is that wage attachment has to do with anything that's garnered. If you didn't pay your child support, you didn't pay your taxes, and they've garnered your wages. Liens have to do with, let's say, for instance, you got your home renovated or remodeled and you didn't pay the bill, then the contractor can place a lien against that. A lien can also be placed against your home if you do not pay your taxes. Judgments, any kind of judgments that come against you will also be recorded, or anything of public record would also be a part of your payment history. So details on late or missed payments, what we would call delinquencies, and public record and collection items. So any type of negotiations or things that you might have done with previous creditors and you missed payments, you also created collection items, those will appear on your payment history. And then the final thing is the number of accounts that show no late payments or are currently paid as agreed. I love to see that when I look at my credit report and see paid as agreed, paid as agreed, paid as agreed up on in that payment history. And remember, the number of accounts has to do with really the number of accounts you have open or closed that you paid. And it shows it's adding to that payment history. And also it will add to how long you've had credit. So now let's move on. So there are five different areas. I'm going to go over those five areas first. Think of it like 100%. It's like you get an A. Everybody starts out with an A. And then we don't keep that A. You know how it is. Some of us don't study. Some of us don't do the right thing. Some of us don't even show up for the test. So the five areas that you are impacted in is, number one, new credit. It accounts for about 10% of your credit score. Then we have the types of credit you use. That counts for another 10%. And there are many different types. I'll go into more detail. Then there is the length of credit history, which is 15%. Now, those three areas account for 35% of your credit score. Again, that's new credit, types of credit you use, and then the length of credit history. The two big pieces of the pie is payment history, which is 35%. That's super important, which simply means pay your bills on time. put them on auto pay, put them on something so that you can keep that credit score up, because when you miss it, it can knock that credit score down anywhere from 20 to 40 points on something really simple. Something happened to me on my credit score. I've got one late payment in the last like 20 years, right? And it was a late payment on a credit card that I don't use, that I probably got like a airline credit card, and I thought I had paid it off, but I paid off the balance, and then there was, in between the time or the month that I paid off, I thought I paid the outstanding balance or the balance due, and it was on auto, I think it was on auto pay, and maybe the credit card was changed or something like that, but it was $28, and then between the time I paid it and the time the next statement came out, there was $1.75 that was unpaid for 30 days, went into a 30-day late pay. And I was livid. Do you hear what I'm saying? Absolutely livid, livid, because it will impact your credit score dramatically. So your payment history is 35%. So pay your bills on time. A neat trick is just put it on auto pay, pay the minimum amount. If you want to pay off those credit cards or those bills, then you can always pay more directly towards the principal during the course of that month. Then we have the final piece of the pie, which is your current loan and credit card debt. This is the space where we would call your capacity, and that accounts for 30% of your credit score. So now let's get into this, into some things that I want you to really consider. So your FICO score takes into consideration all of the categories that we talked about. It doesn't just use your payment history or your current loan and credit card debt, but it takes all five of these areas. The importance of any factor or any piece of this information depends on the information in your entire credit report. So FICO scores is really the technology that kind of pulls all of this credit related information together on your credit report. And then it provides, or better yet, it scores both positive and negative information on your credit report that then creates this credit score. So let's talk about each one of these. Number one, on to the amounts you owe. Approximately 30% of your FICO score is based on information which evaluates your indebtedness. And that means how much you owe other people. So in this category, FICO scores take into account the amount owed on all accounts, on all the accounts that you have, the amount owed on different types of accounts, which means, first of all, we can look at all the accounts that I talked about, credit cards, retail accounts, installment loans, or finance company accounts. Then we can think about the different types of accounts that you have that may only consider your credit cards as a way of looking at your capacity. You know, you may have 10,000 in credit card capacity, but you're using 8,000, which means you only have about 20% capacity left. The number of accounts where you carry a balance. How much of the total credit line is being used or credit cards and other revolving credit accounts. And then also, how much is still owed on installment loan accounts compared with the original loan amounts? And this is where you have, let's say, for instance, if you purchased a home, you purchased it 10 years ago, it was at $62,000, is going to take into consideration how much you actually still owe on that. And basically, it'll show, basically, have you been paying any interest? Are you, I mean, any principal, are you just paying the interest? All of those things are considered. So today you might only owe $48,000 on that. And so it's probably going to show just the percentage of how much you paid off on that particular installment loan, as well as if it's a mortgage or if it's a car loan. Credit utilization, it's one of the most important factors evaluated in this category of the amount you owe. It considers the amount you owe compared to how much credit you have available. And this is a part that a lot of people get a bit confused about, and how they should manage their credit score and how they pay their bills. So, for example, if you have a $2,000 balance on one card and a $3,000 balance on another, and each card has a $5,000 limit, your credit utilization rate would be 50%. Now, while lenders determine how much credit they are willing to provide, you control how much you use. So FICO's research shows that people using a high percentage of their available credit limits are more likely to have trouble paying some payments now or in the near future compared to people using a lower level of credit. Having credit accounts with an outstanding balance does not necessarily mean you are a high-risk borrower with a low FICO score. A long history of demonstrating consistent payments on credit accounts is a good way to show lenders you can responsibly manage additional credit. Let's move on to this length of credit history. Again, let me just share again, you have five different areas that you are evaluated against. One is new credit, which accounts for 10%. Types of credit you use is 10%. Length of credit history is 15%. Payment history, the largest, is 35%. And then your current loan and credit card debt is 30%. So just keep those things in mind.
Hey, we'll be right back after this listener's message.
Hey, Anna, this is Jerry Wicker from the Savvy Beach Bums podcast. Been listening to Anna live, and you are definitely a savvy mermaid. I love your show and love what you're doing. It's all about positivity and motivation, and beach bums and mermaids can benefit from listening to your show. I know I have. And look forward to more episodes of Anna Live. Thanks a bunch.
Now let's talk about the length of credit history and what that means. So approximately 50% of a FICO score is based on this information. In general, a longer credit history will increase a FICO score, all else being equal. However, even people who have not been using credit long can get a good FICO score, depending on what their credit report says about their payment history and amounts owed. So regarding length of history, a FICO score takes into account these things: how long your credit accounts have been established, a FICO score can consider the age of your oldest account, the age of your newest account, and the average age of all your accounts. And I know, you know, most people say, well, everything knocks off, you know, after 5 years, 7 years. Not true. You know, that credit card you got in college is probably still on that FICO score. But is it evaluated and can you change your credit history? You absolutely can by doing some of the things that we're talking about. And that's really a big one, is just pay your bills on time. Go back, renegotiate, get those collections off of your credit reports. It shows good faith and it shows character for you to be able to go back. And it'll take time to change it, but it can be done. How long has it been since you used certain accounts? A lot of people, they will open accounts and then they'll close them. Well, that's not necessarily going to help you because it's showing such a short length of credit history. You know, you walk into a retail store and they say, hey, would you like to put that on your Macy's card? Would you like to put that on your Dillard's or whatever the case may be, or your Best Buy? You walk in and you may think about doing it because you get that 10% discount that day. And let's say, for instance, you're spending $100, then you're going to get $10 off of that. But that $90, and if you pay the minimum payment, how much, which is probably like $20, let's think about this for a second. So it's going to take you 3.5 months or so to pay that off at an interest rate of somewhere probably around 18 to 27%. Now, let's do the math. 10% of $90 is $9. I'm just saying. So is it worth you saving $10 to pay them $9 over the next 3 months? No, absolutely it's not. So don't get that card. All right, so let's go to new credit. Well, that's a great transition here, is that new credit accounts for approximately 10% of your FICO score, and it's based on FICO's research showing that opening several credit accounts in a short period of time represents greater risk. Now, this is important, especially for people who do not have a long credit history. What it really shows is that it'll show that lender that, wait a minute, you're looking for credit. Right. And there was a law passed about a decade ago that changed the way when you try to get new credit. Let's say, for instance, if you're buying a home, and when you would buy a home, naturally you go shopping for furnishings and different things like that. And you might open a few accounts, and then all of a sudden, all of that is actually hitting your credit score and causing those points to decrease prior to your closing are immediately afterwards. And so now here's what it looks like. Your FICO score takes into account how many new accounts you have opened, how long it has been since you opened a new account, how many recent requests for credit you have made as indicated by inquiries to the credit bureaus, the length of time since credit report inquiries were made by lenders, whether you have a good recent credit history, following any past payment problems. Now, looking for an auto or mortgage or a student loan may cause multiple lenders to request your credit report. And that's what I was referring to, even though you are looking for one loan. In general, FICO scores compensate for this shopping behavior in these ways. Number one, FICO scores ignore auto, mortgage, and student loan inquiries made in the 30 days prior to scoring. So if you find a loan within 30 days, the inquiries won't affect your score while you are rate shopping. That's really important to remember. But after 30 days, FICO scores typically count inquiries of the same type, auto, mortgage, or student loan that fall within a typical shopping period as just one inquiry when determining your score. And that's gold, people, because for each one of these hard inquiries, you used to have points removed off of your, or causing your credit score to decrease. And why is that important? It's important because if you look at the opportunity of purchasing something, what you will see is that the lower your score, the higher you pay. Again, the lower your score, the higher you pay. And then the final one is the types of credit in use. Approximately 10% of a FICO score is based on FICO scores considering your mix of credit cards, retail accounts, installment loans, finance company accounts, and mortgage loans. It is not necessary to have one of each, and it is not a good idea to open a credit account you don't intend to use. Now, in this category, a FICO score takes into account what kinds of credit accounts you have. Do you have experience with both revolving, which is credit cards, and installment, which is fixed loan amounts like your mortgage or your car payment? Or has your credit experience been limited to only one type? And many people actually have credit reports that only have one type. They've only opened up credit cards. They never have purchased a home or perhaps even purchased a car on installment. So all of those things are considered. They may be cash buyers on automobiles and never have been a first-time buyer. Just review very quickly that you have five different areas that impact your credit score. So your character and your capacity has to do with your new credit at 10%, types of credit you use at 10%, length of credit history 15%, payment history 35%, and your current loan and credit card debt accounts for 30%. So make a decision to earn your financial freedom. Notice what I said, earn it, because you have to earn it by keeping your agreements, by managing your credit, managing your capacity to spend. And so hopefully this has been helpful. You're listening to Anna McCoy. Know that you're loved and appreciated. Thank you for listening. You can visit me at annamccoy.com.